Part 4, Herald of the Covenant. Section 18, Abdu'l-Bahá arrives in America. Abdu'l-Bahá was still under confinement and close scrutiny when Lua made her first visit to the Holy Land in 1898. It was not until 10 years later in 1908 that Abdu'l-Bahá was given his freedom. Immediately, he made plans to visit the West. Abdu'l-Bahá, the exemplar of his father's faith, was about to give his followers a personal example of what it meant to arise and teach the cause of God. Abdu'l-Bahá was at this time broken in health. He suffered from several maladies brought on by the strains and stresses of a tragic life spent almost wholly in exile and imprisonment. First, he laid to rest the holy dust of the Bab in a safe and permanent resting place. He fulfilled this historic mission given him by his father. Once that priceless trust had been completed, Abdu'l-Bahá arose with sublime courage, confidence and resolution to consecrate what little strength remained to him in the evening of his life to a service of such heroic proportions that no parallel to it is to be found in the annals of the first Baha'i century. The son of Baha'u'llah was soon to travel, first to Egypt, then to Europe, and later to America. His grandson and guardian of the Baha'i faith, Shoghi Effendi, has written that these journeys would mark, if we would correctly appraise their historical importance, a turning point of the utmost significance in the history of the century. Abdu'l-Bahá, Lua's beloved master, was free at last. He was on his way to ignite fires that would never be quenched. Except for a brief period during the First World War, Abdu'l-Bahá would now enjoy to the end of his life a freedom which has never since been withdrawn from the institutions of the Baha'i faith at the World Center. So momentous a change in the fortunes of the faith was the signal for such an outburst of activity on his part as to dumbfound his followers in the East and West with admiration and wonder, and exercise an imperishable influence on the course of its future history. One of the greatest days of Lua's life was the 11th of April, 1912, when her dream came true and the steamship Cedric sailed into New York Harbor, bringing Abdu'l-Bahá on his historic visit to the shores of America. Abdu'l-Bahá's arrival was an occasion for excitement, not only among the Baha'is, but for the press and the people of New York as well. Newspaper reporters and news service representatives came aboard the Cedric at quarantine and interviewed Abdu'l-Bahá coming up the bay. Versions of that historic interview appeared in newspapers all over America and around the world. It was the greatest signal incident of proclamation of the faith of Baha'u'llah since the days of its birth. Abdu'l-Bahá had truly, as promised by his father, raised his voice in the West. The following account is a description both of Abdu'l-Bahá himself and the purpose of his mission. Written not by a Baha'i, but by a newspaper correspondent representing the New York City News Association. The press was keenly interested in the words of an exile and a prisoner, who after half a century of such suffering, was free to speak at last to the world. "He comes on a mission of international peace," reporter W.P. Dodge explained in his press account, "to attend and address the peace conference at Lake Mohonk the latter part of this month. and to address various peace meetings, educational societies, religious organisations. Abdu'l-Bahá was found on the upper deck, standing where he could see the pilot, his long flowing oriental robe flapping in the breeze. He was clothed in a long black robe, open at the front, and disclosing another robe of light tan. Upon his head was a pure white turban, such as all Eastern patriarchs wear. His face was light itself as he scanned the harbour and greeted the reporters. He is a man of medium height, though at first he seemed to be much taller. He's strongly and solidly built and weighs probably 165 pounds. As he paced the deck talking with the reporters, he appeared alert and active in every movement. His head thrown back and splendidly poised upon his broad square shoulders most of the time. A profusion of iron grey hair burst out at the sides of a turban and hanging long upon the neck. A large, massive head, full domed and remarkably wide across the forehead and temples, the forehead rising like a great palisade above the eyes, which were very wide apart, their orbits large and deep, looking out from under massive overhanging brows. Strong Roman nose, generous ears, decisive yet kindly mouth and chin, creamy white complexion, beard same colour as his hair, worn full over the face and carefully trimmed at most full length. This completes an insufficient word picture of this wise man out of the East. Abdu'l-Bahá spoke at length to the press representatives, answering all their questions about peace, war, the rights of women, freedom of the press, education, true liberty and true religion. Abdu'l-Bahá displayed wisdom, love and a sense of humour as he chatted with the press reporters in his stateroom. He recalled an incident from the previous winter when a young Christian was about to set off on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The pilgrim was worried, feeling that he did not have the right spirit and sense of reverence. The proper spirit in which to visit places hallowed by remembrances of Christ, Abdu'l-Bahá told his young visitor, is one of constant communion with God. Love for God will be the telegraph wire, one end of which is in the kingdom of the Spirit and the other in your heart. I am afraid my telegraph wire is broken, the would-be pilgrim complained. Then, said Abdu'l-Bahá, laughing heartily, I told him, you will have to use wireless telegraphy. When the ship came abreast of the Statue of Liberty, Abdu'l-Bahá stood erect facing the statue and held up his arms in salutation. There is the new world symbol of liberty and freedom, he said. After being 40 years as a prisoner, I can tell you that freedom is not a matter of place. It is a condition. When one is released from the prison of self, that is indeed a release. Abdu'l-Bahá waved farewell to the statue as the ship turned towards Manhattan. To the reporters he said, in former ages it has been said, to love one's native land is faith. But the tongue in this day says, glory is not his who loves his native land, but glory is his who loves his kind, humanity. Abdu'l-Bahá gazed up at the jagged skyline of those stone canyons of New York. These, he said, are the minarets of Western world commerce and industry. Abdu'l-Bahá suggested to the reporters that just as these buildings reached heavenward, so should the people occupying them be always striving for the betterment of humanity, for universal peace, and for the good of all nations and mankind in general. The bricks make the house, he told them. And if the bricks are bad, the house will not stand. It is necessary for individuals to become as good bricks, to eradicate from themselves race and religious hatred, greed and a limited patriotism, so that whether they find themselves guiding the government or founding a home, the result of their efforts may be peace and prosperity, love and happiness. Such were the words first spoken by Abdu'l-Bahá in America. Such were the scenes that greeted him as he gazed for the first time upon this land which Bahá'u'lláh had addressed in his summons to the presidents and rulers of the Republic of the West. Now Abdu'l-Bahá was in one of those lands to help its leaders bind the broken with the hands of justice. Words which Bahá'u'lláh himself had directed to these same rulers.